Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special. Again, what a blessing. The music is always a blessing here at the church, and we surely appreciate the hard work put into it. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses in the book of Daniel. Chapter 6. And if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that is not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writings and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writings was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you and thank you for, first of all, loving us, which gives us the opportunities that we have to love you. I thank you, Father, for this assembly here this morning. And God, you know exactly what's taking place in the hearts and the minds of each and everyone that's here. And I ask once again today that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel, said to be a prophet by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, spoke of the prophet Daniel. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was taken into Babylonian captivity at the age of 17. He lived his life in an ungodly society, and yet had an impact on where he lived. As we look to Daniel, we find that he faced very similar things that we as Christians are facing even today. Most of us think of Daniel in the lion's den, which is a powerful story in and of itself, and we all, no doubt, if you were raised in church, you were taught the story in your Sunday school class at some point, possibly several different times. But can I tell you, this morning, it's more about Daniel and some evil politicians. I think we can all identify with that. But God has given us the testimony of this Bible character named Daniel that we can learn from, that will help us if we want it to help us. If we desire to live according to the facts that there is a God who cares about how we live our lives, then you can learn from the life of Daniel. Because what a tremendous blessing and how he lived his life. The testimony he had, even in Babylon, which would become the Medo-Persian Empire some 50 years later. What a great testimony. I trust that's why we've assembled here today. All I know is my own heart, my own mind. I thank God that we have assembled here because it's part of God's commandments for New Testament Christianity, as Jesus Christ came and established Sunday as being the Lord's Day, Resurrection Sunday, the day that we're to assemble ourselves together to bring in our tithes and offerings and to worship the Lord in the spirit and truth, and then to carry out the work that Jesus established for the church to carry out. Most of us are here with that understanding of that's why we assemble ourselves together on Sunday mornings. But not everyone is here with that in mind. Can I tell you to start with, though, I desire you to be here in church today. I desire that we would fill this auditorium and pack this place out every time we assemble ourselves together. Because I know that I'm going to preach a message from the Bible. I know God directs, and I believe God brings people into the church somehow or other. You were influenced somehow or other to be in church today, and I believe God is directly behind that. And I know that if you come to church, then I can influence you with the truths of God's word. And I know what you need more than anything else is to be influenced with the words of God. Because you never know just when it's going to stick. And when it sticks and you understand the importance of it and you apply that to your lives, it'll change things. Your life will change. Some are here out of curiosity. Some possibly here out of fear. I say the fear of God because you were raised or influenced by someone who knew there is a God, and you just have a fear of not being in church. But I believe most are here to learn and to take in what we need to live according to God's will. And knowing that, then I know that God has help for us in how to live our lives through the testimony of this great Bible character named Daniel. A testimony of one to learn from. Verses 1 through 3, the Bible tells us quite a bit here. Daniel was just about to be placed into a government position over the whole realm of the Medo-Persian Empire. That's powerful. The Bible says here, and we find here that the Medes and the Persians were the world superpower at this particular time of Daniel. And Darius was the king overseeing this, but we find that he placed in this kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So 120 princes, and over these three presidents, of which Daniel was first, or one of the three, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit. Something that stood out about this man Daniel, something stood out about his testimony. And you will stand out if you have a testimony for Christ. And this stood out with the king, Darius, and was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What a great thing that would have been. It would have been like Joseph, if you will, in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and how it impacted God's people, Israel. Don't forget that it was God's people, Israel, that had been taken into captivity. And Daniel now is in the very land, in the beginning was in the land of Babylon, was under the Babylonian Empire. And what Daniel, how he could affect society and government would also affect God's children in captivity. The same was true here some 50 years or so later. Now they're under the Medo-Persian Empire. And Darius was looking to Daniel to make him second in command. What a testimony. What a tremendous testimony. I trust that you understand this. It was these evil politicians that had put in place as well. Then they saw this. They said, no, we can't have that. Let's do whatever we have to do to make sure that he does not get elected to that position. No matter truth or not, let's bring something out, let's do something that would get him out of that position where Darius will not be able to make him second in command. That's what's going on. That's what we read here in our text. But Daniel had surrendered to his place in society to live for God. Back in Daniel chapter 1, this is where it begins. Babylon, ungodly society. And we find here that Daniel, as well as Judah now, taken into captivity. The Bible says, in the third year of reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. He took control of it. This was the captivity that they had been warned about from the prophets of God. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. God, because he told him he was going to do so, he gave it into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, of king of Babylon. And part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasures house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and the princes, and children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge, understanding in science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learnings and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Their brainwashed in these younger, talented individuals showed a lot of promise. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine in which he drank, and so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel. First one that mentions, then Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, but Daniel's what I want you to focus on. Unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names. And then verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, as he was taken into captivity, now he's out of Judah, he's in the land of Babylon. And he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So as long as he could maintain his testimony, he surrendered to his place in society as a citizen of Babylon. Most of us here, I would say, are citizens of the United States of America. Most of us would agree that our society is not very godly. Matter of fact, I don't know of a day and time when America was any more ungodly than what it is now. And teaching evolution as a matter of fact, and all the different things, which is a religion in itself, all the different things that are going on, morality today, and what they're developing and establishing laws to protect the immorality of the citizens of the United States of America. Like Daniel being taken into Babylon, he would have to face an ungodly society. But he would have an opportunity to make an impact on an ungodly society as he would commit himself to the position of a citizen of Babylon, as long as he was able to maintain a testimony for God. Isn't that very similar to what we need to do today? We are citizens of the United States of America, and by citizens, you have certain privileges. One of those is we have privilege enough to vote for who we want to elect to our office. And I believe that every born-again believer, the least you ought to do in society is to vote biblical conviction. Let your voice be heard concerning biblical conviction. But I believe there's much, much more than that, but that should be as the very minimum that we ought to do. The next thing we ought to do is to make sure that we're in a godly, independent, fundamental Baptist church so that we can have an impact on society through where the doctrines that we stand upon from this church right here, from any church that believes the Bible, that wants to stand for Christianity and live as God would have us to live and establish the rules and the guidelines for Christianity that Jesus Christ established. We're just abiding by them. Listen to me. As long as we are given the ability and the opportunities to be able to keep our Christian testimony, you can make an impact on society. The fact is, the bad thing about everything is, we look back over the time, the church has lost its testimony, and Christians have lost their testimony. They've become more like the world, and in some cases, even worse than the world. So we have Daniel to look to. What an example. So God has given Judah into Babylon, into Nebuchadnezzar. I am here in Babylon now because of the nation's sin, and God has delivered us, but God has given me an opportunity to have an impact on society. I love that, because that's exactly what's taking place. So he becomes a citizen and have opportunity to have an impact on the very same land where God's people were now living. So if he can have an impact on the government, which will impact the lives of all of those living in Babylon. As long as he can maintain his testimony. Because he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Not going to go there. Nor with the wine. Not going to go there. Which he drank. I'm not going to have. I'm not going to associate that with that. I am not going to give in to that. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And you know the testing that went on. And then verse 19, it says, and the king communed with them. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In the very beginning, underneath Nebuchadnezzar, this was a rule of order. And they kind of bucked the rule of order, but they did that knowing that this is what God would have them to do. And they was able to maintain their testimony and still presented to the king something of more value than any of the other young people. That's God doing that. Because God has a purpose for Christianity in America. God has a purpose for Christianity in the world today. And as long as he allows a church to stay here, he wants the church to have the testimony that Christ established. So Daniel would live his life based upon his convictions. He would live his life based upon his convictions. Two, which were observed and recorded, that we're looking at right here this morning. The first would have been Old Testament diet was one of God's commands. Now, God has a purpose for that. I think it was more health reasons than anything else, but they would have a different diet than most of the world. Now, we find that Jesus, when he came, he delivered us from that diet. Amen. We can eat pork. We can eat bacon. Amen. We can eat ham. Praise the Lord for that. But things are different in the New Testament church age. We know how to better prepare it, and we know how to make it to where it doesn't make us sick and ill and all the different things with the blood and the meat, all the different things there. So God had a purpose, but it was a commandment of God. There was a dietary commandment that God had given, and Daniel said, I will not turn against my convictions, because my convictions was to obey the commandments of God. And one of the commandments of God was our diet here, and we're not going to partake of that. And so I'm not going to do it, because I'm going to live by conviction. Whatever that conviction is, making sure that it is founded on the Word of God. We'll get there a little bit more in detail in a minute here. The king's meat, which would have been pork, no doubt. That's what part of what he's talking about. And the king's wine, which had been an alcoholic beverage. I'm not going to participate in that. Because of my God. Because of his commands. I'm not going to do it. The other would be the Old Testament laws concerning the temple. It was a tabernacle in the Old Testament as they traveled through. When they got settled in the Promised Land, Solomon built the temple, and there were related commandments concerning the temple of God. They were instructed to go to. They were instructed to do certain things. Overall, the instructions that had to do and the commandments to the temple was communication with God. And it was impossible for Daniel, living in Babylon, to go back to Jerusalem. to go to the temple. And so Daniel established his second conviction here that we have recorded in the Bible of a place to pray and meet with God. And the closest thing he could get to the temple was his place faced in the direction where the temple was. Did you notice that? Now, when verse 10, chapter 6 and verse 10, we read this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, the holy city. Why was Jerusalem named as a holy city? Because it's where the temple was. And the temple was what where God allowed them and had them to come to worship him and to sacrifice and to have fellowship with God. This was something that the Christians, this is something rather than the Jews were supposed to do, the Hebrews were supposed to do. They were to spend time with God. A place to pray and meet with God. Chapter 6 is right around 50 years, some say more like 70, but somewhere around that, after. As far as we know, he's been living by these convictions for some 50 years. Even when Babylon was overthrown, taken over, actually given over to the Medo-Persian Empire. And somehow Daniel, in his testimony, had worked his testimony and worked his citizenship up to getting ready to be second in command. And he did it without turning his back on his convictions. Sometimes we're tempted to change our convictions, to agree with more of the society that we're living in. Sometimes we're tempted to change our convictions to make it easier lifestyle, where we're not questioned so much as to why we don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And we need to learn from Daniel. He became a citizen where God planted him, but he was only going to be a citizen as long as he could maintain his testimony for God. Daniel's conviction was tested with a death sentence. We'll go back over there, chapter 6. And it was designed to get Daniel out of the picture by some evil politicians. As far as we know, he was the only one that had the convictions. But that's why Darius seen something different in him. That's why Darius wanted him to be second in command. But we find here, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a tremendous testimony that he had even with the others around him. Because they didn't want to live that kind of lifestyle. And they despised him because of it. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning his convictions, the law of his God. I guarantee you, if the old devil went after Daniel because of his convictions, the old devil is the same today, and he'll come after you because of your convictions. Yeah. Daniel's convictions tested with a death sentence. And Daniel placed his convictions first and went to his place of prayer and prayed to his God. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew. He knew what had taken place. He knew exactly what they were doing to him. Would he back off on his convictions? Would he justify not communicating with God as he knew that God wanted him to communicate on a regular basis? Would he back off on that because of the consequences he would have to face? No. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, he didn't even try to close the door. He didn't try to close the windows. He wanted everyone to see. He wanted to maintain a testimony. Opened his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, once this happened, these evil politicians went to King Darius and said, hey, you can't change it. And the one who did went against it was Daniel. Verse 14, the Bible says, and the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. How could I have been tricked into doing what I've done? But he was sore displeased with himself because of the favor that Daniel had in his sight. He saw the difference. So Daniel had an impact on the king. He was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver. How can I do this? What kind of legislation can I pass? What can I do to change what has been done? And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. You can't change it. Daniel's got to die. And it would have been a horrible death. It was a death sentence to be thrown into the den of lions for the people to watch the lions devour those who were charged with the death penalty. Daniel's impact on Darius was seen there. Also, look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, this is, as far as we know, an unsaved, ungodly king, but had taken notice of the difference of the testimony of Daniel. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, I believe Daniel had this confidence all along. I don't think there was any fear in Daniel because Daniel had put his trust, his faith in God. To live for Christ is gain. For to me, to live for Christ is gain. To die is gain. I want to live for Christ. When I die, it's going to be for gain. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. But we find here that the king was spake and said, O thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a testimony. Verse 18, the Bible says, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting.
fasting.
Wow, not only was the king aware of good Daniel's God, he was aware of Daniel's fasting and how that he could find even more power in prayer as he added fasting to his prayer life. That was a testimony as to the impact that Daniel had on the king. No doubt they had talked about the prayer, communication with God. They had talked about how that even fasting will even give you a greater power with God. Certain things, if you don't learn how to fast, you're not going to be able to overcome certain things, because certain things require prayer and fasting. Yeah. Darius had learned this from Daniel. What an impact. What a testimony. In the end, we find that, you know the story. I'm getting ready to close here, but that learning from the story. In the end, Daniel was taken out of the den of lions without a scratch. All of those that opposed Daniel were thrown into the den of lions and were devoured. And the king did this right here. Look in verse 25, verse 26. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, which would take in every one of God's children. All the Jews had been scattered that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. What an impact Christianity could have if we had a genuine testimony of Christianity. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. What a testimony now by the king. Have you learned? Where did it begin? Daniel understood convictions. The importance of convictions. Convictions are absolutes. The world would say there are no absolutes, and I'm here to disagree with that. I'm here to preach to you that the Bible definitely reveals to us absolutes. The doctrines that Jesus Christ established for his church are absolutes. That's a good place to start as far as your own personal convictions. Make sure that you understand the doctrines that Jesus Christ established for New Testament Christianity, and those doctrines are absolutes. Put them first. Well, it would cost me a job. Let it cost you a job. It'll cost me a friendship. Let it cost you a friendship. I'd rather be the friend of God. I'd rather look to God to supply all my need than a man, a company, a world. Yeah. What are we to take away from this great Bible character's testimony? Research the scriptures and establish your own convictions. These are absolutes. Can I ask you, do you have them? I'm not giving them to you right now. I'm asking you, do you have them? Have you determined certain absolutes in your life that nothing can cause you to go opposite those absolutes? You understand where these absolutes come from. You understand if I am going to have a testimony in the society that God has planted me in, I have to look to God to have the testimony of God, testimony of Christ. And that comes by way of Bible doctrines. Some people don't have any idea of what you really believe and what you're willing to die for. We're coming to the end of time. I really believe so. Has never been a more important time in the history of the world than where we're at today for Christians to focus on convictions. Need to know what this means, how you apply this to your do's and don'ts. Daniel knew exactly what his convictions were. He knew what he would and would not do. And then lastly, you need to know what you do when you're tested. You know what you'll do when tested. By government, by family, by church. Daniel had determined he would either live by convictions or die. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What a testimony for us to learn from. If I could ever head bowed tonight, this morning. Do you have them? You determine what your convictions are. There's a difference between convictions and preferences. Can I tell you, my preferences have changed a lot over the 40 years of ministry. My personal preferences, because society, a lot of different things change. But can I tell you, my convictions have never wavered because they're based on God's word. And I'll die for my convictions. I'll go to jail for my convictions. I will not compromise my convictions. And that's a testimony that I want to leave. When I'm gone, my testimony wants to be like Daniel's. He lived his life for Christ. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of the life of Daniel and what we can glean from that and apply to this New Testament church age. And the convictions that we need to have today based upon the teachings of our Savior. There might be someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, I pray right now that they would come under conviction of as far as their need to be saved. There might be some that are saved that have never established their own convictions. I pray, God, they would see the need for this. Lord, I pray that you take the message and apply it to each one of our hearts and our lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.